Well, as you remain standing, grab your Bibles. We're going to jump right into the Word of God again. Welcome to Freedom House Church. My name is Josiah, the lead pastor of Freedom House Church. We're one church in multiple locations, Fullerton, Online, Irvine, and Espanol, and soon to come to Anaheim. Come on, would you clap and welcome our Irvine campus. What's up, Irvine? It's so good to see you. And this morning, I won't be in person at the 11:45 at Irvine. I'll be speaking at our Espanol campus. And so, but my wife, Pastor Maria, is there. Of course, our campus pastor is there. And we're going to just have a wonderful service to honor God as today we get to bring to God our Christmas offering. But I know God's doing something amazing there, but I will see you next week. Amen. How many ready for the Word today? Come on, are you ready for the Word today? I know that you are. And so I'm going to continue the series of message we've been on. We're studying out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the five names of God, where the Bible says that unto us a child will be born. And so grab your Bibles and go with me to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to go to verse number 6 and read through verse number 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6 through verse number 7. And when you're there, say, I'm there. All right, sounds like a lot of people are there. Okay. First service, they couldn't find the service. Just joking. Go to the table of contents. You'll find it. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Watch how the Bible reads here. And as you're turning your Bibles there, just don't forget about our Christmas Legacy Gala this Thursday. Come on out. Tour of the new building. A lot of fun. Come on out to that. But Isaiah 9, 6, here's how the Bible reads. It says, for unto us a child is born. Who's the child born for? It's one for us. Okay. I want you to notice here it says, unto us a son is given. Who's the son given for? So I just want you to see here that Jesus was not born for heaven's sake. Jesus was born for our sake. He was born for our well-being. He was born to make us right with God. And so he is a gift for you and I. And as this gift comes, how many know you got to be able to use the gift? If not, you can have a gift, but never discover the life-changing effects of that gift. It's like having a blender, never using the blender. Remember the one you got you never used? Come on. I want to be able to apply the gift heaven gave me. Say amen. Unto us. Now watch this here. It says, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Let's all read this together. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what else? The Prince of Peace. These are the five names that will describe the Savior to the world, and we're discovering those in this series of messages that we'll talk right through Christmas. The Bible says on verse 7, of the increase or the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, the Bible says, and justice from that time forward and even forever. Now watch this last sentence. It says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want you to see that the word zeal means passion. In other words, God is passionate about performing his promises. We serve a God that has a passion for his house. And I find it so interesting. We live in a culture that you can be passionate about a football team, a baseball team. And again, ain't nothing wrong with that. But yet, when it comes to God things, they don't want you to have any passion. It's like, hey, calm down, calm down. It's like, wait a minute, hold the phone. So you can have passion for that, but I cannot be passionate about eternal things. God wants his house to be passionate for the promises of God. Come on, somebody. And so this morning, that's what we're passionate about. And I want to talk to you today. The title of my message is The Mighty God. The Mighty God. As we're going to look at Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. And as we often pray here, Lord, we didn't come today to hear the word of man. We came to hear the word of God. So, Lord, may your word speak to us so specifically, so prophetically, so profoundly, that as the Bible says, it would literally cut my soul and my spirit, asundering the two, removing anything that is of the flesh, and God leaving literally a spiritual surgical experience that we may become the men and the women, the families and the young people that you have called us to be, Father. Speak to us and let us serve you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone say amen. Come on, give God one more clap. You may be seated and just tell someone next to you, Merry Christmas. Come on, tell that. Say, Merry Christmas. That's right. That's right. I want to continue, like I said, talking about here the names, the attributes that Isaiah, the prophet, is going to describe to us of who Jesus was. Because Jesus, when he was born, it wasn't just the fact that he was born to give us a holiday so we can give gifts to each other, but he was born for a significant need that you and I had. All of us had a need, and God wanted to meet that need. And the scene that we're so often accustomed to seeing during Christmas is the nativity scene. As many of you have seen nativity scenes, of course, they're actually even a thing of controversy where you can have a blow-up Santa. Nobody's going to say nothing, but if you have a blow-up nativity scene, everybody's like, well, you're one of those, you know, you're one of those. And when it's really about Jesus. Because what's Christmas about? Jesus. That's right. If you said Santa, we're going to jump you. Just joking. I said it one more time. So it's about Jesus, y'all. It's about Jesus. And everything else is a distraction because when Jesus came and Jesus was born, so much was born. And the nativity scene, when we see baby Jesus there, it wasn't just that a baby was born, but something was born. In fact, the very word nativity, the Greek word nativity means to be born. In other words, something is born, nativity, something is born. And what was born on that nativity scene is that Jesus was born, yes, but what else was born was salvation was born. Come on, your healing was born. Your way, your pathway and access point to God was born because he's the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus was born, it was our sin is now forgiven and now we are born again. There's so much of significance that was born that I really want to spend this month talking about. And we're on the series Isaiah 9:6 about the names and the attributes of God. And I talked last week about how he was wonderful, right? He's a wonderful counselor. We're going to talk today about he's a counselor. And what was born is wondrous. He's wonderful. It's so inexplainable. God is a wonderful God. And that's his name. He's a wonderful God. And that word wonder, of course, in etymology is full of wonder. But the connotation of wonderful is that it leaves you just in awe, like not even understanding. And have you understood that you won't understand God? Have you understand that yet? There's good stuff I'm giving you this morning, okay? Have you understood you won't understand? Have you figured out that you won't figure it out? This deep stuff, y'all. This is deep stuff I'm giving you right here, okay? Like, this is, it's part of our life of serving God that you will soon figure out that you won't figure him out. That you're going to come to a point that you cannot put God in an equation. You can't put him into a formula. He's just wonderful. He does things in his way, in his timing, in his method that you will never figure out. Like, it doesn't matter how smart you think you are or how skilled you think you are. You will never figure out some of the things God does. He just does them because he's God. He's sovereign. He's in charge. He's the Lord above all. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. In other words, earth is where he puts his feet. He's like, that's right, just chill. This is light work. Tell your neighbor, it's light work. Come on, somebody. This is light work. No reaction. Right? It's light work. In other words, God's like, I can handle this. He's the wonderful God. And what's so amazing about the word wonderful, right? Because he said he's wonderful counselor. We'll get to counselor in a second. Let me just recap. The word wonderful is pele, and that Hebrew word pele means to be in wonder, but it also means that you're not going to understand this. I'll never understand some of the things. Like, I won't understand how the first 5 years of our marriage, my wife and I couldn't have kids, but now we have four miracle kids. Four miracle kids. They're headaches, but they're miracles. Just shaking. Come on. Right? Miracle. I don't even know how it happened. It's just God did it. And you know, I don't know how I came into a church service and I went through probation officers and people yelling at me and people threatening me. That never changed me. But when Jesus came in my heart, I was never the same. Addictions fell off. I can't make sense of it. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I can't explain it. Some of you will never explain how you feel one way, but when God touched your life, depression, anxiety fell off. How now you're seeing miracles in your family. How the one you thought would never change is changed, and now they're worshiping God. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'll never figure it out. And here's what I've learned. I don't have to wrap my head around it. I just have to wrap my heart around it. Say it again. I don't have to wrap my head around it. I just got to wrap my heart around it. In other words, I may never figure it up here, but it makes so much sense right here. That God, you are good. You're wonderful. Inexplainable. I'm not here to try to explain it all. I'm just here to receive it all. And that's what makes God who he is. And the second word is counselor. And so I want you to write this down. Point number one, here's where we'll pick it up this morning, is his name shall be wonderful, but also should be counselor. And so write this down. He is the wonderful counselor. Say it with me. Say he's the wonderful counselor. Now, this is so important. Some may put these two words together, and yes, wonderful counselor is one word, but there are still two attributes that describe who God is. He's a counselor, but he's not just any counselor. He He's a wonderful counselor. And these two attributes to me are distinct in nature because God is describing himself. And just a great Bible study for those that love to just jump into the word is study the attributes of God. So God will often give you his attributes. In other words, he tells you who he is. You don't have to be guessing, because when you know this is who God is, then this is how you can approach who he is. And the Bible says that he's a counselor, but not just any counselor, a wonderful counselor. Like, he is a type of counselor that is something that you cannot get on earth, but only comes from heaven. And this word counselor, for again, my note takers, is the Hebrew word yoez. And this word yoez literally means to give advice. It literally means, counselor means to literally give counsel, but it actually connotates to give purpose, to give purpose. In other words, he's a wonderful counselor because God will give purpose to your pain. He sent a counselor. Now you might be like, why did God send a counselor? Why did he send a counselor? I'm going to tell you why. Because you've been through some stuff. Tell your neighbor, say, you need a counselor. Just say that. Come on. Tell him that. And say, a wonderful counselor is what you need. All right? A wonderful counselor. And so God says, I'm going to send you a wonderful counselor because, listen, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the trauma that you've been through, in the midst of the effects of someone else's sin that has then affected your life, someone else's disobedience, or maybe some of your own disobedience. Come on now, raise my own hand, okay? Some of our own dumb decisions. Come on, somebody. Don't act like you're all perfect. I see the halo on top of your horns. Okay? Come on, somebody, right? Our own decisions that we have caused some things in our own lives that have now left us scarred, have left us dysfunctional, have left us broken, and we don't know where to turn. And here's the good news of Christmas. God says, I'm going to send you a wonderful counselor who's going to give you purpose out of your pain, give you advice out of all of the vices. That's powerful, y'all. And well, I want to break this down this morning to encourage us this Christmas so we can approach this Advent season, this time of Christmas, saying, God, this is what I'm expecting. This is what I want to receive if you send it into my life. Now, what makes him such a wonderful counselor? Well, of course, he's the miracle worker. But what makes God so wonderful, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15, let's read this here. This is what makes God such a great counselor is that, number one, well, let's read this here, then I'll give you the points here. It says, for we do not have, watch this now, a high priest who was unable to empathize with our weakness. So everybody look at me here. Empathize is different than sympathize. To sympathize is to say, pobrecito, I sympathize. I've never been through what you've been through. Sympathize. The Bible says that God doesn't sympathize. God empathizes. To empathize means to say, I know exactly what you're going through. So if someone came up here and said, Pastor, my father left me, and I don't know, I've never seen a picture of how to be a husband to my wife, I can say, I know exactly what you're going through because I went through that. Does that make sense? So to empathize is there. And this is a very powerful scripture, and this is why he's a wonderful counselor. Because the Bible says we have a high priest, Jesus, who doesn't just say, wow, that's so sad you're going through that as a human being. But we have a high priest that empathizes with us, that says, I know exactly what it is to be a human. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is the incarnation. Remember, incarnate, incarnation. He is God in the flesh. It says he is unable to empathize with our weakness. Watch this here. It says, but we have one who has been what? Tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. What does that mean? That means that we have a Savior. We serve a God. That he's a wonderful counselor because he knows exactly what you're going through because he walked in human shoes. He lived as a human. And this is what makes Christianity, and I want to bring some apologetics in this, and apologetics means to apologize. Apologetics means to give doctrine and build your faith. But this is why what makes Christianity distinguished and distinct from every other false religion. You heard me right. Every other false religion. There's only one true religion. There's only one way to God. His name is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Say amen. This is what makes Jesus different than Gandhi, different than Muhammad, different than just a good man. Because we serve a God who didn't say that you had to be perfect to reach him, but God became a human to reach you. Talk to me, somebody. His love is so great that he came down to our level to get to know you and I. That is mind-boggling. Because this is the greatest love story ever told, is that God would become man and take upon the sins of the world. But not only that, but also to counsel you. In other words, he walked in your shoes. So that means nobody can go to God and say, God, you don't know what it is like to be him, to have to go through what I go through. And God says, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And he can counsel you not from a sympathetic point of view, but an empathetic point of view. And this is what makes him the greatest counselor. Because any other counselor on earth, now I'm all for counseling, for the record, okay? I love counseling. I think it's great. I'm going to put my little caveat in there. Christian counseling. That's just my conviction, is any counselor that you go to should have a foundation of God's word. If they don't know God's word, God bless you. I need someone that knows God's word, not just a textbook. I need someone who knows the book. Hallelujah. All right. That's just my conviction. And if you don't agree with that, that's fine. Do what you want. That's just my conviction. But counseling, I believe in counseling. It's great. It's awesome. But let me tell you what makes him the greatest counselor. Why you still need to go to Jesus. Because no human counselor can solve all your problems. Come on, somebody. Why you still got to come to God for healing, okay? It's because he knows it all. He knows it all. Now, a few years back, my wife and I, we went to counseling after COVID, the whole COVID situation. And don't worry, we're good. Everybody, okay? You guys good? That's why we go to counseling. How many know the doctor needs a doctor? Okay, amen. Yeah, I got to go too, you know? And so I went to counseling. And after the whole, COVID pandemic, I mean, everything was upside down. I've never been like, Lord, do you really want me to pastor? Because I can do a lot of other things, Lord. This world is crazy. Y'all, they losing their mind, Lord. Your kids, Lord, they need prayer. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, and anyway, I was there. It's just the world's upside down. Y'all know. So we decided to go to counseling. And when we went to counseling, it was a little nerve-wracking. A little nervous. Like, you know, you're like, oh, man, you know, are they going to judge me, you know? You know, how am I going to convince him that my wife has all the problems, you know? And just joking, come on. Just joking. I'm like, how am I going to break this thing? You know, kind of spin it, okay. You know? And so there, and so, we were blessed, fortunate. We got a counselor through my pastoral board of advisors. He counsels some of the pastors of the largest churches across America, and he has double doctorate degrees. And so now I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's going to break me down. He's going to be like, this is your problem, you know? And I'm like, oh, Lord, right? And so you're kind of like nervous, and do I be honest? Like, how honest do I want to be, right? And so it's a little nerve-wracking. And I pray everybody at one point goes some type of Christian counseling, because it's very healthy for you. If not, at least open up to another brother, sister in the Lord and really pour out your heart. But it was very nerve-wracking. And so it went well. We did figure out that Pastor Marie has all the issues. Just joking. Come on, somebody. I don't know why I keep saying that. I had problems. Okay, I got problems. Right? Pray for me. But, you know, we're good, you know, but strengthen us. And we still, you know, help us. And it's a whole process, very healthy. But let me tell you something. What makes God a wonderful counselor is because when you go to God, you don't have to explain. Okay, watch this. When you go to Jesus, because you still got to go to Jesus, okay? Because a good counselor will get you to go to Jesus, not get you to come back to them. Come on, somebody. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Josiah. And so it's when you go to Jesus and you try to explain to Jesus, he goes, I already know. You're like, you see, what happened, I already know. And then you try to convince him what the issue is. You're like, you ain't going to trick me, bro. You see, and then this woman you gave me, come on, somebody. He's a wonderful counselor because he goes, I already know your motives. I already know your intents. I already know your heart. I already know your issues. And the truth is, he's a wonderful counselor because he's been in your shoes and he already knows. Here's what makes them even more wonderful. It gets gooder. Gooder's not a word. It's my sermon. Okay? It gets gooder. Because he's a wonderful counselor, not just because he knows your needs, but he's a wonderful counselor because he can meet every one of your needs. This counselor has all of the resources at the power of his hand. What makes our Savior, the most wonderful counselor, is because when you go to him in prayer, when you go to God at the altar, when you go to God on a Sunday morning, you're coming to the wonderful counselor who knows your need and has the power to meet every one of your needs. What money cannot buy, because your money will not change that child. What money cannot buy, because I don't care how much promotions you get, it will not change your heart. What money cannot buy, you come to the great, wonderful counselor, and he will move heaven, he will move earth, he will remove the cancer, he'll remove the trauma, he'll remove the depression, he'll remove the anxiety. Come on, somebody. He's a wonderful counselor. And he gave them to you and he gave them to me. Let's read some more verses. Come on, read the Bible. Stop talking, Josiah. Read the Bible. Okay, watch this. This is a good Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The Bible says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. He should have just said, come to me, all parents of children. Just checking. Come on. Come to me, all of you weary and burdened. He says, watch this now, and I will give you what? Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your what? Your soul. Watch this here. Rest for your soul. Anybody can get rest for their flesh. Take a 15-minute power nap. But only God can give you rest for your soul. Oh, yeah. You can go on a vacation and find rest for your flesh, but you could still be restless in your soul. Only Jesus, the wonderful counselor, can give you rest for your soul. Only he can. And the sooner you figure that out, the better. Because you'll find out, you'll be like, why do I have everything that should make people happy, but I still feel restless in here? I got everything that other people want, but I still feel restless. You could have the family and the 2.5 kids and the dog, and you can have the job and the promotion, and you're gonna wonder, you just came back from a dream vacation. You're like, well, why do I still feel like I just feel restless? It's because you haven't had a sit down with the wonderful counselor. I'm talking a genuine get real with God moment. Good preaching, Pastor Josiah. I'm not talking about a casual, go ahead, Lord, tell me your best one-liner. I'm talking a get real with God moment. I'm talking about where we used to call it old school. Okay, I'm old school Pentecostal. We used to call it getting ugly before God. Let me get pretty. Oh, Lord. Speak, thy servant is listening. It's good. All right, that's cool. That's a starting point. We're getting somewhere. I'm talking about when you're like snot bubbles before God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, bro, you're not caring about who's next to you. I mean, you're like, God, you're crying like a little baby. You're like, you're back to you were a five-year-old little boy, and you're asking God to change your heart, to heal your mind, to remove from your soul the sin and the wickedness and the evil. And you're saying, God, I don't want to be like my father or my grandfather. I'm not going to leave prayer until you change me into the man I've been called to be. Shout amen. And until you don't go there, you ain't had real counseling. You have not had real counseling with the wonderful counselor. You know, your eyelashes in the back of your head, ladies. Ladies, I said. Nowadays, you got to specify. So real world, they need counseling. They need counseling. He says, rest for your what? That's why we come to church. I don't come to church just because I'm going to hear another sermon. And I know you don't come for my jokes. If you come for that, you're going to be disappointed every week. Okay? Give me the best I got. Okay? You come to church to find rest for your soul. This is why you worship and you come. God, I just need this rest for my soul that the world can't give me. That no experience, no. So I was having this conversation with my son on the way to church. I said, you know, church is not about entertainment. It's about empowerment. It's about empowerment. It's about, I need to be empowered, equipped to know more of the God I serve, to have a greater connection and walk out of this place and being built up. Wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you sent to us your son. Come on, clap because he's a wonderful counselor. Clap, 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 clap. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 6. One more. I'm almost out of your way. 1 Peter 5, 6 and verse 8 says, therefore, he says, humble yourselves under the what? The mighty hand of God. There is a humbling of yourself. Now, just a little side note. It said humble yourself. Say humble yourself. There's no keep other people humble ministry. I don't want to tell them that. I want to keep them humble. That's not biblical. Okay? There's no, you're not called to keep people humble. You're called to build people up. That's just you being a hater, okay? All right. So it says, therefore, humble yourself. Humble who? Myself. That's right. You got to humble. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And saying, God, I'm going to put my life under your hand. I'm going to say this in a way I hope you receive it. But some of you, your hand is very prosperous, quite industrious. God has given you a hardworking hand. And you've done very well on your own hand. But can you imagine when you surrender your hand and God's hand is on top of your hand? You have not seen your greatest days. But when you humble yourself, God will put his hand on your hand. And imagine what you've done on your own power, what God will do with his power on your hand. I just want to throw that out there. Amen. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he's going to exalt you in due time. Now watch verse 7. It says here, verse 7, next verse, casting all of your care upon who? Upon him. For he cares for who? Tell your neighbor, he's definitely talking to you. So he's definitely talking. He says, cast your cares on him because he cares for who? For you. Now, this word here is very important because we serve a God who cares. He says, cast your care on him because he cares for you. God cares. And here's the sentence that the enemy would love for you to say. God, you don't care. God, you know what? You don't care. You don't care what's going on in my life. You don't care what's going on with my kids. You don't care what's going on in my mind. God, it just feels like you don't care. When that's what the devil wants you to believe. But the scriptures make it so clearly. We have a wonderful counselor who cares. And he actually says, cast your cares, your worries, your anxieties. He's like, cast your cares upon me. But I want to show you the picture. The connotation is that you're carrying those burdens, that restlessness. And he says, in order for the level of peace to come to your life, you've got to learn how to go like this. Here you go, God. I'm going to cast them on you. Because you know what? I can't change it. I can't change them. I'm going to give this knucklehead to you. I got a lot of amens on that one. You guys must know a couple knuckleheads. Amen. I'm going to give this knucklehead, this hard-headed, stubborn woman. Just joke. Come on. Guys are smart. They'll stay quiet and be like, I have no idea what he's talking about. All right. So give it to you. Watch this. I'm going to cast it. And there are certain, listen to me. He's a wonderful counselor. Why is he so wonderful? Because God says if you give it to him, he will carry that burden off of you. The level of the peace in your life is directly connected to your ability to cast your cares upon him. I'll say it again. The level of peace in your life is directly connected to your ability to cast your care upon him. The better you are at casting, getting good at, and listen, I've had to learn to go like this. God, this is your issue. God, I'm going to do all that I can, but I'm not going to worry about what I can't do. And I go like this. Watch this. This is your problem, God. This is your, here you go, Lord. And I got to cast it to him. Because if not, I will carry what I was never meant to carry. And when I carry what I was never meant to carry, I become vulnerable to the enemy. Because watch this. This is deep stuff, okay? Lock in right here. Lock in. Tell your neighbor, lock in, okay? He says, cast your cares because he cares for you. Now watch the corresponding scripture. This is called immediate context. Verse 7. Then watch verse 8 because I better not go into that. Verse 8. Read this. Watch this. Next scripture. Be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What is the pheromone that Satan is looking for to devour your life? Carrying worries you were never meant to carry. He looks for the one that's overwhelmed. The one that's not good at giving it to God. And that's the one Satan is prowling, saying, let me find out the one that's freaking out. the one that doesn't know about the God they serve. Let me find the one, the enemy, because you would think that the enemy would be like, I'm at a low moment. Don't kick me while I'm down. He's a chump. He will kick you while you're down. This is why it's so important that at your lowest moment, I'm going to preach now. I don't apologize, but I got to preach just a little bit. This is why at your lowest moment, this is why you're down when you're down to nothing, when everybody's left you, turned their back on you, rejected you. This is why it's so important when you're down to nothing to make sure that you run to God, that you run to the one. I don't care if you have to run there. Some days you'll crawl there. Some days you'll be dragged there, but do whatever you got to do to get to the wonderful Counselor, because the devil is a liar if he thinks he's going to devour my future, my family, my peace, and the things God has given me. Come on, somebody. Shout, I won't be devoured. Say it again. I won't be devoured because I'm going to cast my cares to the wonderful Counselor. But the more you hold on to it, you become a target. Someone shout, wonderful Counselor. Say it's a gift. And tell your neighbor, open the gift. Upon somebody. Oh, Lord, we're going to honor God in a second. He's the wonderful Counselor. And then number two, write this down. He's the mighty God. I'll break this down more in weeks to come. I got to make sure I leave time for us to be able to have a moment with the Lord here. But he's the mighty God. Someone say he's the mighty God. He is God. Jesus. So here's this. He's wonderful. He's a Counselor. He's carrying I get to cast my cares upon him, my burdens, my worries. But he's also the mighty God. He's the all-powerful God. And this is so important because the question we have to decide is Jesus God? Okay? We have to decide that and come to grips with that. Because in a church context, we might say, yes, but the truth is when we live our lives, is Jesus God or is he just this good man that was born? What is he? We have to decide that. And that is such an important decision, church, that our salvation is determined on our belief on that statement. If you believe he's God or not. And we live in a day and age where not everybody believes that. They believe it's just a good man. That, you know, oh yeah, he's, but no. I want you to know that Jesus, who was born of a virgin, who was born in Bethlehem, Jesus, who came wrapped in flesh, was not just a godly man, he was a God man. He was fully God and fully man, amen. And Jesus made these claims because if he's not God, then we all might as well just go home. Because guess what? There is no way you're going to get right with God and reach the righteousness that is required. But if he is God, which he is, if he is God, then guess what? We have a hope. Because now we can be restored to the Father. We now have the way, the truth, and the life. Who did Jesus say he was? Now I'm going to read these seven things. You can try to write them down as fast as you can, but then the Gospel of John, there are seven I am statements of who Jesus said he was. And in the same Gospel of John, there are seven miraculous statements that he performed that made it clear who Jesus was. And I'm going to read it here. I'm going to just go through quickly here, and I'll put up all the scripture references are actually in your notes. You can go home and check my work here. But this is who Jesus is. Here are the seven I am statements because they asked Jesus, who are you? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. He says, I am that I am. The same name that Jehovah Yahweh gave Abraham and Isaac when he said, who should I tell Pharaoh who sent his town that I am sent you. And what Jesus was saying, he said, I am that I am. In other words, he is God, somebody. John's gospel, he says this. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the door to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the true vine. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Why? Because Jesus embodied who God is. In the seven gospels, Jesus turns water into wine, showing you that he can turn your life around. Jesus healed the the royal official's son, meaning it don't matter how much royalty you think you are, you will always have things you cannot change. Jesus healed the paralyzed man by the pool of Bethesda who couldn't help himself. God says, I'll help you when you can't help yourself. Who am I preaching to today? Jesus fed the 5,000. He took the little and made it a lot. Jesus walked on water. Why? Because he can defy even the natural elements. Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus, number 7, raised Lazarus from the dead because he has authority over death and life. He is and always will be Jesus, the mighty God. He's God. And we need to, again, this is a faith statement for everyone in this room, is you have to come to that belief. Is he just a good man or was he God? Because if he's just a good man, well then, forget it. But if he's God, then we must honor him as such. Of course, we believe he is God. Right? He has the power to forgive sins. Remember when the paralytic man was carried and Jesus said, I forgive you of your sins. And they're like, who are you to forgive sins? Well, obviously he's God. Jesus is God. And if he's God, then we must honor him as God should be honored. That we honor him. And this is why it's so important during this Christmas season, because during this time, people don't honor God. And in Matthew chapter 2, let's read this last verse. We come to a conclusion here. We're going to honor God in such a great way, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, jump all the way to the last verse here. And it reads like this, because when he was born, I want you to see who was in the room. It says this, on coming to the house, someone say, Freedom House. Right? Coming to the house. Obviously, they didn't come to Freedom House, but I'm just putting that. They came to the house. They saw the child. This is baby Jesus with his mother Mary. And what did they do? They bowed down. And what did they do? Okay, stop right there. If he was not God, they would have stopped the worship. Like if you had a baby and your family showed up and started worshiping your baby, you'd be like, hey, whoa. It's just a baby, bro. You know? They did not stop the worship from the three magi, the three kings who came and saw the star. Because they said, this is what you're supposed to do to God. You're supposed to worship God. And they worshiped. Mary, did you know? Actually, Mary knew. Just so you know. Mary knew. Let's just settle it. It's a great song. Mary, did you know that your baby? Yes, she knew. And there it is. She bowed down and worshiped him. They worshiped because he's God. And this is so important during Christmas. Because during this time, we're supposed to, the Advent season, we're awaiting. We're awaiting a Savior. We should wait with great expectation and worship to God. It's a reminder, a refresher that you sent to us your Son. You didn't leave us hopeless. So we worship. And that's why we get into an atmosphere of worship. But that's not all they did. At the first Christmas, they worshiped him. Then the Bible says they opened their treasuries and they presented him with gifts of gold. Who's him? Jesus. They presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Notice they didn't present and go, Jesus is born. Mary, here you go. I got you a little something. Hope you like it. I saw your list. Joseph, I got this here. I got it on sale. Here you go, Joseph. Hey, what about, don't worry, I got one for Freddie too. Freddie, I got you a gift. And buy everyone else gifts. But that's what we've made Christmas. Everybody else gives. I figured this out the first year of pastoring. I was shocked, and I made it a goal at a Freedom House. And for you that have been with Freedom House for some time, you know that we do this every year. The first year of pastoring, Christmas, right? And I realized that for church, do you know what the lowest giving month for a church is out of the whole year? Who wants to take a guess? December. Christmas is the lowest giving month for churches. Isn't that heartbreaking? The month that it's all about bringing gifts to Jesus is the month everybody's like, I got to get gifts for you. And even the person in the office you don't even like, but you feel obligated, you got to buy them a gift too. Maybe like a See's candy on sale. But I'm going to get them something, you know. You know? And you get everybody gifts except for Jesus. And we wonder why there's no mighty work. They brought gifts. And so what we've done every year is we said, we're going to have a Matthew 2 moment at church for you. Every year. Someone say every year. Why? Because it reminds us this season is all about your gift. And we're going to be like the three wise men. Any wise men still worship? wise women, don't be the three wise guys. Be a wise man. You know what I mean? Tell me, too old, you don't know the three wise guys. Mary Mo, okay, no? Okay, don't ring a bell. So we want to have wisdom and worship him. And we're going to give. And we're going to say, God, we honor you. And so how do you give to a God that has everything? You want to know how? Is you build his passion. And God is building his house. Because I believe that at a Freedom House Church, I just started praying for this. I'm sorry, but I started praying that at a Freedom House Church, the next Christian governor of California would be born. I got four claps. Okay, that's cool. I started praying, God, let senators be raised at a Freedom House Church, spirit-filled. God, let principals be raised at a Freedom House Church. God, let a president be raised, if God doesn't return, at a Freedom House Church. God, let future innovative entrepreneurs be raised at a Freedom House Church. That God, they honor you, that you honor them to extend the kingdom in Jesus' name, because the government will be on his shoulders. I started praying just crazy prayers. Y'all think I'm crazy, but I just start going for it. Like, because at the end of the day, what's big to God, right? God's never going to be like, wow, Josiah, that's pretty big. Whoa. Let me consult with the angel, see if I can do that, you know? He's a mighty God. So this morning, we're going to worship him through our giving. And we do this every year. I told you, we're going to bless 400 families. And we're gonna give God a former Walmart. We're gonna turn it into the house of God. It's gonna be a house of healing, a house of freedom, a house, come on, Bible college. We're gonna honor the Lord, and it's gonna be so amazing. As many of you know, you can pull out that red envelope, and on the red envelope, there's a little graphic error. Is you have to write your own amount somewhere on there. You have to write an amount if you're gonna use that red envelope. You give what God is in proportion to what God has blessed you, because what can be a sacrifice for you is maybe not a sacrifice for someone else. And so you have like one of those gifts, you're like, wait, we're all gonna buy a gift for mom. You ever done those gifts, you know? And then someone gives like 20 bucks and you're like, bro. Okay, come on, somebody, amen, amen, amen. Now, if that's a sacrifice, you do that, but you're like, bro, you come on, this is mom we're talking about right here, man. You know what I mean? We're all gonna give to God in what is a sacrifice to you. Again, there's no heavenly IRS, okay? You do what God has put in your heart. Let's bring all that out, guys, if you can, quickly. And bring that out. And you do what's in your heart. As it's not equal amounts, it's equal sacrifice. And we're gonna honor God. As many of you know, there's a gap to close escrow, $512,000. And we're believing God here to close that gap. As in the next coming weeks, we gotta bring the full down payment to close that gap. But hey, listen, we already raised $2.5 million. Come on, somebody. Come on, clap, 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 clap. We need $500,000 more to be able to close that escrow. And then we're going to bless these families. It costs about $150 to bless a family. And if you want to bless a family, you can maybe say, hey, I want to bless a few families. Then maybe add a little more on top of that towards the new building or whatever you want to do. If you made a pledge and you want to fulfill it, year-end pledge, you can do that now. And we also call this our year-end giving because Freedom House, everybody listen up real quick. Freedom House Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So your giving is tax deductible. Consult your tax accountant. But whatever you give, next month in January, we're going to give you a receipt of what you gave. You could take that and file that with your taxes for a tax write-off. I always say this, don't give it to Uncle Sam, give it to Father God. Come on, somebody, amen. So if you need a write-off, this is a write-off, and you can give it from your business, all right? You can give it from your personal income, however you like. And the only thing that has to be is it has to be in an envelope and it has to have your name. You can't be like, oh yeah, I put this cash and I put my name. Okay, can't do that stuff, right? Gotta have paper trail, okay? So just put it on there. If it's under your business name, under your name, and you can give, and it is a tax write-off for you. We'll give that to you. And then also, oh yeah, we're doing this. For everybody who gives, I'll pass one of those. Yeah, bro, if you can. I don't want to reach down and make it on Pastor Blooper's Instagram or something, you know? All right, fall down. But we give an ornament. We've done this for the past almost over 10 years. And so whatever amount you give, you know, there's no specific amount. We're going to give you one of these, put it on your tree. People have been saving these for years. This one says 2023. And we just want to bless you with this. And obviously don't give for the ornament, give because you give to God. Oh, I want one of those. Okay, write something. So come on, just give because you want to bless God. Here you go. And we'll give one of those to you. Amen. Bow your head and let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray for this holy moment right now, this Matthew 2 moment. Just like about 2023 years ago, when the wise men came to the manger, they saw and they worshiped, but they didn't just worship with words, they worshiped with actions. They opened up their treasuries and presented you, Jesus, with gifts. And so we're calling this our Christmas best gift to you, Lord. That you're on our Christmas list too, Lord. We want to bless you, Father. We want to get behind what's on your heart, which is to build your kingdom and build your house, to bless 400 families and to also establish your house, God, to turn that former Walmart into the house of God, Lord. And I just pray right now that you would speak to every person, that they would give in proportion to what you blessed them with, that whatever is to them, God, a sacrifice, it would be received unto you. And then, God, answer their hearts' prayers and desires, God. With the same measure they give, be it measured back to them, Father. We love you and we dedicate this all to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand to our feet. You continue writing that out. And here's how it's going to go. Even if you put the digital up there. I should have told you that sooner. Okay. So even if you give digitally, please come forward. You can like just put your phone by the altar. Your phone needs prayer anyway. So just, Lord, bless this one. And then then we're going to give you one of these ornaments. And we should have enough for everybody. We just asked one for family. And we want to bless everyone. Amen. All right. We're going to sing a good song because the wise men worshiped. We got a good song. Okay. And ready? 1, 2, 3. Go ahead.